Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
There is no condemnation. Those who are in Christ. Romans 12. That's the one that's sandwiched neatly between 11 and 13. Praise God. Happy days, eh? Oh, happy days. It's good stuff. Praise God. He's just great, isn't he? Isn't God just awesome? Everybody can't stop praising. He's just amazing, isn't he? He's just... Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the word. You are the living word, alive in us. Thank you, Father God, that you've put your word in us. You've put your spirit in us. You've said that if we abide in Christ... And your word abides in us, or lives in us, we'll ask for whatever we want. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we can ask for whatever we want.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we'll receive it.
Oh. That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, for your word. Thank you, it's alive in us. Oh, oh Jesus. And let's have a look. Where are we going to go? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Because I like it. I understand it and I like it. And I'm going from verse 4. Ooh. Not to verse 2. No, verse 4. I've discovered there's more than three verses in Romans 12. And they're quite dangerous as well. And it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body. And each of us has a different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. And I love the way it puts that. It words it slightly different in other translations, but in the New Living it says, we belong to each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. We belong to the body. We belong to each other. I mean, we know that church is the people. So when I say I belong to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, what that means is I belong to you.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And it kind of implies that I go to a building once a week, but it doesn't say, you know, it says at the end of the notices there, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, a place to belong. It doesn't say Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, a place to attend. It says Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, a place to belong. We belong to one another. You know, what time does your church start? Well, who gets up earliest then? Joel. No, Billy. Billy. You know, I kind of think church sort of starts at kind of like 12:45. 1 o'clock-ish on a Sunday? No, in the afternoon. That's when church starts. We have our meeting together, but then church starts.
Yeah,
that's good. Come on.
You know? Most traditional churches will have something called a benediction at the end of their service. We have a sort of one. It's time for a cup of tea now. That's when church starts. Praise God for coffee, though. You know, that's when church begins, because church is us. That's when we belong to one another. It's great sitting here. It's great having these parts of it. And there are Christians now beginning to peel themselves away from this because, oh, no, it's about belonging. But this is about belonging too. You can't have, you know, it's the whole thing. God is into wholeness. He's into all of it. And there are people, I know a number of people, not up here actually, but where I've come from, people that are just saying, oh no, it's, how can you go to something that you are? Well, it's just pernickety use of words, isn't it? Grow up, learn English, and get on with it, for crying out loud, amen? You know? You sort of, you know, I have been to rugby, but I've never played the game in my life. You know, oh, well, have you really been to rugby then? Oh, how can, you know, don't be so daft. You know. There is actually a scripture that says, be perfect Isn't there? It's in the word, the Greek used... Sorry. Okay, I wasn't going to use any Greek today because I don't know any. But the Greek word for perfect also is the Greek word for complete or the Greek word for mature. Be mature. Grow up, you know. It's in there. You can preach it. Come on, grow up, you know. Hallelujah. No, it's the whole thing. It's not a new argument either, is it? You know, the society of friends wouldn't call themselves a church 400 years ago. They would call themselves a society of friends and have a meeting house. The Methodists had chapels. In the 80s, we had Christian centres. It's just pernickety, isn't it? It's just, no, we are the church. We meet together. Church begins after the service ends. Hallelujah. And we have a good time and a good cup of coffee. Praise God. I don't know if you've noticed, but where revival happens around the world seems to be, you know, some of these big revivals you hear about seem to be in coffee-growing countries. Just wonder. Just wonder. Praise God for St. Arbuck's, hey? And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to one another. I was on a first aid course this week, and I was just thinking... It was funny, actually, because he was trying to show us how to deal with someone when they're fainting. I thought, just regular Sunday morning activity, isn't it? You know. But at one point, someone was talking about the little bones in the ear. Aren't they amazing? The hammer, anvil, and stirrup. And that's the right order. And I know as much about anatomy as I do about Greek. And... But I think if one of those bones is missing, so I'm looking longingly at Nigel now. If one of those bones is missing, do you fall over? You can. You know, you've got this huge body. Well, I have. You've got this big body with all sorts of bits and pieces and things. But actually, this tiny little bone missing in your ear, and actually the whole body is wavering around, you know. Don't underestimate who you are. Don't underestimate what God has given you. You know, your little seed falls into the ground and dies. It grows up. It has about 5 stalks that come up, and there's about 40 odd different seed. So actually one seed in the ground can bring about 200 seeds. Now plant that 200 and what happens? So what it is that God has given you, plant it. Kill it and watch it come up. Hallelujah. Plant it in the ground. You were dead. Are we not? But alive in Christ. There's that seed in you. There's that dream. Are you daring to dream? Hallelujah. Of course you are. Of course you are. We got dreams. We got visions. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just was thinking this week about the word compromise. Don't you just love to compromise? Isn't it great? Come to my church. We're really half-hearted. It's great. No. Not at all. We hate compromise. But whenever we talk about compromise... So I don't really love compromise. I don't love compromise. We got that sorted. Yeah. Joking. Right. But whenever we talk about compromise... I always sit in the congregation, stirred up. Yeah, my commitment's good. I'm not very naughty. And that's kind of what we talk about. Not very... Do you know what I mean? We think about what we do. We think about the sins that we do when we talk about compromise. And we work out, well, I'm not that compromised, or I'm hardly compromised at all. But I wonder how compromise, or how much we compromise our mercy. Not giving what people do deserve. Do we compromise that? God is a God of mercy. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. I just wonder sometimes whether we're not very godly in that way. We compromise something of the character of God in us when we're not as merciful in situations as we could be, and we compromise. Ooh. What about our grace? Giving people what they don't deserve. Each other, ourselves. Giving ourselves the forgiveness for things that maybe we've done, getting rid of the stuff that's in our lives that we just want to hang on to, whatever. Giving ourselves a chance. giving each other a chance that we don't deserve. I wonder how often we compromise on our grace. What about love? Oh, you've gone quiet now. When you're leading in the worship team, there's a little symbol like that that says, move on, move on. It's a bit challenging. Oh, move on, move on. I mean, when we could do something for somebody and we don't, or we're about to do something we shouldn't do for somebody and we do it, and it's unloving. Forgiving one another. Do we compromise that? Do we hold on? How much do we compromise? Puts a different light on compromise, doesn't it? What about faithfulness? Sticking to it. That integrity and that sticking to it and that pushing through, that resoluteness. I wonder how much sometimes we compromise on that for a slightly easier life. Oh. No, sorry. Well, I know you couldn't possibly, so say, you know. You know. I just wonder. I'm looking, because I'm just going through this process, and I'm just thinking about these things and how people who have not compromised in my life in the past, that's actually helped me move on. You know? Sometimes we compromise a bit to be nice, and actually it's ineffective.
That's right.
You know? I was thinking actually about some guys. When I was a teenager, I was about 11, which is only a few years ago now, I used to go to this Bible class, 10 past 12 to 10 past 1 every Sunday. What a bonkers time it was. But for some reason, it wasn't 12, wasn't quarter, 10 past 12 to 10 past 1 on the dot. And these three or four faithful guys, all with sort of grown-up kids, every week would teach us teenage boys the Bible. We all came from unchurched backgrounds, pretty much. And they, every week after week, and they weren't filled with the Spirit. They weren't standing on the Word in faith like we do today. They weren't delivering or healing or any of that. It was just basic Bible knowledge, week after week after week. Well, one guy went when he was 11, and 30 years later, he's doing all right. You know, but there was something about the faithfulness of those people. They didn't have, they're not trimmings, they were on the trimmings spiritually in some ways. And they went to a church that preached the gospel, but it wasn't a lively one. I think most of the life in the church was the woodworm in the pews, you know, certainly in their worship. But no, it was, there was something there where they were just really faithful. And you know, it was dull sometimes. It wasn't exciting, but I just went. And they invested something in me that even though it wasn't exciting, they were there. You know, even though it wasn't a thrill each week. In fact, that one of them put on an extra thing each week. Every Tuesday night, we had Good News Extra for an hour. I think that was 7:03 to 8:05. And there was only about half a dozen of us. But some of the scriptural knowledge I have now, I learned then. But also the faithfulness of these guys. One of these guys actually was high up in the Energy Authority. And when Chernobyl went up, which most of us remember Chernobyl, when that went up, and it was the Soviet Union in those days as well, he was actually going over to Russia to the Ukraine to speak with high-level Soviet people over it. And yet, on a Sunday lunchtime, he was there teaching teenagers. There's a scripture just up here I wasn't going to read, but it says, be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. And there was a guy who actually, although he was working at that level with atomic energy in this nation, Sunday lunchtime, he'd go to church, come back from church, and do our Bible class. Awesome, really, isn't it? I was a bit older. I went to their church for a bit, then I went to another church. And when I was there, there's a pastor there, who just, any time of day or night, and I tested him on it as well, you know, and so gracious and patient, and yet was there. And through a rocky time in my life, he was there. I just wonder sometimes when we want church to be nice for us, I just wonder sometimes whether we compromise on that and just doing that extra mile. I mean, you've got to walk the first mile before you can walk the extra mile. Yeah? Can't walk an extra mile if you haven't done the first one. But they were always doing the first mile, and then, you know, and that was as a sort of young, broken teenager that wasn't filled with the Spirit at that point, wasn't receiving the Word in the way that we do today, and yet their faithfulness, going out of themselves in that sort of way, was just awesome. It was just awesome. And I wonder sometimes in this day and age whether we lose some of that. Do we compromise our faithfulness? Do we compromise our love and stuff? Hallelujah. Quick, I need a joke. I'll keep whacking you with this then. Verse 9. You know the next few verses probably, but verse 9 it says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Go down a little bit and to 13. 12 is good, but I'm just cutting time. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Or if they need lodging for the night. Doesn't say what to do the next night. Yeah. But get into the habit of inviting people around, inviting guests home and dinner. That's actually biblical. It's not just something that we bang on about. It's actually biblical. Hallelujah. It's good stuff, isn't it? And these are great. I mean, this is Romans 12, New Living. Check it out, because it's really far too challenging, so don't. Stay compromised. It's all right. No, but it's awesome scriptures, aren't they? But, you know, what's happened over, as you know, the other week, I was standing at the front and Paul was saying Chris is going to be the pastoral director. And we've been praying for several months now over how to move the pastoral team forward. And what's happened is I've inherited from Pastor Martin, a great team. It's a dream team. It is. And I'm not going to call it the dream team. I want to, but I'm not. You'll get confused. But the pastoral team, actually, what we're going to do is we've got a couple of things that I'm really concerned about in the church. One is that everyone here really belongs. When I was praying, the word belong, just one word. You know, someone says, I got a word from the Lord, belong. That was it. And really sense, I really wanted to help us all help each other to really belong. And we can belong by attending, but that's not really belonging, isn't it? That's part of it, but it's not really where you belong. And the other thing I'm concerned about as well is when new people are coming into the church, how many people, are they just saying hi to people on a Sunday, or actually are they starting to meet people outside? Now, obviously, with a church like ours that's far-flung, there's half of us in and around Scarborough, half of us are miles away, that's difficult, and that's going to take a little bit of organising. But that's okay, don't panic, I've done it for you. It's all right, you can breathe. Okay, because what I've done is we've got a strategy together. Strategy is a great word, it's actually a plan. If you want to sound fancy, you call it a strategy. And in the councils, you get people called strategic planners, and I'm not quite sure what they do, but they plan plans. But what I feel God is calling us to do, really, within this area, is actually to really get going with this hospitality thing a bit more. But I think when it's all of us spread across miles, it's actually difficult to get your head around it. Where do I start? And the more people that are added, the more it's going to be like that. So what I've done is taken the people that I've got on the team already. And those people are going to not be like a leader, but just be a coordinatory, leadery type person. There isn't a word for that in Greek or anything. And what they're going to do is they're going to have an area or a group, but we're going to call it a team. We're going to call it a life team. And you're not going to have meetings every week, because we have those. We meet with God on a Thursday, don't we? Okay. What this is for pastoral, but not, when I say pastoral, that sounds like needs. And some of us go through phases where we need that support and we need to have current friends. We can't go on friends we had years ago. We have to have current relationships, don't we? And then a church this side spread out, that can be a challenge. So what we've done is everyone that's in the East Riding, if you pay you pretty much everybody, actually. I realised when I looked on a map the other day, I got two people wrong. But pretty much everybody who pays the tax to Beverly, you're in an East Riding gang team. And then there's a crowd in between East Riding and York and Scarborough. That's where we are. That's got a big team as well. And then there's about three. Then there's the students. And then there's three of us that are living in Scarborough, three different people, three groups of people working together. And the idea is partly that you've got a smaller group of people to try and get to know, which I hope will help. The other thing as well is I'd love it. Somebody comes into the church, they're brand new, not a Christian, they might be a Christian. But I'd love it if within a month they had about two or three friends in the church. Not just two or three people that have had a coffee with them out there. The church is only just starting then. But actually, within a month of coming to this church, I'd love it if everybody who started coming had two or three friends. And you want friends where you live, don't you? So, which is why we've kind of done that. And we've got one of the teams that operates in Scarborough is more of a Sheepgate team for new Christians and people returning to the Lord in that. And the other two are more people who have been Christians for years coming in. It's not a set in stone thing. It's just we'll work it as it works. I've been around church for years. I've seen systems. I've seen cell group systems and this, that, and the other. And they're all good in their way. But I don't want to have a structure that stifles us. What I want to see is something that allows the life of God within us to be expressed, yes, to expand, and to go around everybody. You know, I don't want us to be, oh, I'm in East Riding. Can I invite somebody from North Yorkshire for lunch? But I can't. Now, of course you can, you know. But it's good to focus. If there's a need in the church, people assume, oh, somebody in Humlenby's not very well. Oh, well, the people there will be doing that. And then nothing happens at all. Or one person's cooking meals all day for them or something, you know. We need to be able to back each other up. If someone goes into hospital, when we're flung up, the reality is actually that we all think someone else will do it. And someone else will if they know that they're in that area. So that's what we're going to do. We've actually, the people in the team, people like Steve and Nikki and Peter and Anne and Brian and Shona, Mark and Judith, and are all heading up, and there's a few others that are sort of helping them out and backing them up. And these are going to grow as well, of course. So this church is going to grow. And we're not going to have the old traditional rites. When you get to a certain number, we split you in half and all that. But we are going to have, when they get too big, we're going to have to do something, aren't we? But we'll pray about each one when they get there, and we'll start a new team with people that have raised up within those teams and have been servant leaders, if you like, within that team. And as those people emerge in those teams, they will probably end up helping or moving into a new one in the next year or two. We'll see. We'll see what the future brings. Eh? But what we do know is the future is bringing a lot of new things. I've only told you a few bits about it because I don't want to confuse you with details. But we want to get on with it because new people have been coming all the time. And we want them to be able to, there are, you know, some people can come in and whiz round in no time and get to know lots of people. Some people aren't as good at that. Some people, when they come for the first time, are completely broken and don't know where to start. And we have to gently, to begin with, gently, start moving them in the right direction, you know. But that's what the whole thing is going to be doing. And we're calling it a life team because everybody in it, it's not a group with a leader who organizes everything for me. It's a team. Yeah. And everybody on the team is responsible for everybody. That's just right. Because you have a life team overseer, discipler, organizer, whatever the word is. Just because you have one of those doesn't mean that you're absolved with responsibility for anybody in the church, because it doesn't say here that you belong to your home group leader or your life group leader or your life team organizer or whatever. Pastoral team member, it actually says we're all one body and we all belong to each other. Amen.
Amen.
And I just have a sense, I mean, one of the biggest things as I was praying is, hey, this is a license to have more fun. Because how can anyone who's coming into the church be a part of, suddenly be launched into a circle of friends that are having a lot of fun and belonging to each other if you're not to begin with? So this is evangelistic as well.
Yes, it's good.
This is evangelistic because what happens is people can come in and get to know people. and belong. Yeah. If they're not saved, they will soon want to know the Lord. And you're there. They know you. You can pray them through stuff. Yeah. It's not a system. It's not, oh, that person's in charge of that. No, it's us doing it. Yeah. Even the little hammer, anvil, and stirrup in the church can be doing those things too. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Oh. Never be lazy in your work teams, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests for dinner, or if they need lodging, for the night. Most of us have tents. Hallelujah. If all else fails, hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you that you've called us to live at a higher place. You've called us to live the life that you lived, and you're living that within us. I want to thank you that you don't want us to compromise on mercy and grace and love. You don't want us to compromise on our faithfulness. Lord, you don't want us to compromise on the sin and the naughtiness things either, Father God. You want us to be, but Lord, you're calling us to that place of where the fire is falling and the fire is just stripping it all away. We want to serve you wholeheartedly, Father. We want to serve you. We want to say, in for a penny, in for a pound, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to thank you, Father, that you have set things in place for us. You've led us into green pastures. You are a good shepherd. And we thank you, Father, that ultimately you are our pastor. You are our good shepherd. And we look to you, Father God. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for what you've laid before us, the table you've set before us, that we can succeed. And those of us with dreams, those of us that are starting to dare to dream, will have those dreams recognized in these smaller teams, Father God. And those dreams can start to be pushed forward. Hallelujah, that you've set in place a dream team to help us realize our dreams, to help us step forward into the fullness of what you've got for us. You are a gracious God. You are a mighty God. And we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show our appreciation to Pastor Chris. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is all part of how God is causing us to grow. You know, that tagline, Kingdom Faith Church, a place to belong, is not just a tagline. It's something we believe. It's something that we want for every person that comes to this church. And you're going to hear more and more from Chris and from others and from people that will be the pastoral team leaders. Chris mentioned some of them about how that's going to work out in practice. But let's just be adult about this. It's just about helping people to belong. And it's not rigid. It's not you've got to be at life group meetings every Wednesday at 6:03 or whatever. Okay, it's not that at all. I mean, you probably will have some times when you all get together so you actually know who's actually in the group. But it's also just about inviting one another to dinner, inviting friends to the same group. And, you know, it's also, if you're in a group and you think none of my friends are in that group, don't panic. You're an adult. You can go to anybody's house. It doesn't matter. Okay? And if you're involved in so many things, you can't get along to a meeting, it doesn't matter. All right? Just go. And if you can't, don't. We get our knickers in such a twist. Oh, I've got to be at that one. I've got to be at that one. Look, just do what God tells you. All right? And but the good thing is there's something in place, because we all get times in our lives when we do need support as well. You know? And so when you do need extra help, there's an immediate group of people who you've begun to get to know, and that's so much easier. It's about making sure people don't get left out. Yeah? It's just a little bit of flexible structure. It's not whatever it's called, G12 or cell groups or life groups or all those kind of things. It's none of those. As far as I know, no other church does it anywhere else. We are unique. Amen? Because we are unique. And we asked God, Chris and I, we and with Martin as well, we're saying, what do we do, Lord? Do we adopt this system? Do we adopt this system? And God said, no, you can do something completely different. So we've got to see how it works. We've just got to do it and see what happens. All right? Hallelujah. Talking of being a unique church, I found on the internet yesterday, we've made this awesome list. It's brilliant. Yeah, it's called the antichurch.com or something like that. And it's an atheist website, and we're on it. I think it's awesome. It's all these churches you've got to avoid. Yeah, and oh, it's a great list. It's got Abundant Life Bradford, Hillsongs London, Holy Trinity Brompton, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Yeah, come on. Oh, don't you just love atheists when they recognize churches where God is moving, so they better stay away. Hallelujah. I tell you what I like. I do also like, and this is a bit naughty, but we like to be a little bit naughty, is it get on the list, it's got Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Next on the list, Kingdom Faith Horsham. Oh no, not another one. It's nice to know they're coming along after us. Hallelujah. Don't ask me how I found it. I think I was looking for, to see, I was trying to see what happened when I put churches in Scarborough. I think it was, I looked for charismatic churches in Scarborough and I got this site warning people. Well, they're absolutely right. This church is dangerous. Hallelujah. It said, I think we're over the top loopy charismatic. Yeah. What they mean is God turns up. Oh dear. Well, that's great, Chris. It's good. Okay. It's the way forward. It's the way to help us grow. You know, we can't be a church of a couple of thousand without some sort of structure. It'd be a bit messy. I think it probably still will be a bit messy, but you know, but that's where God's taking us. We dare to dream. It's totally impossible. Except God's doing it. I got one other thing I want to share with you this morning. We had, it won't be very long. It's only a few minutes. You're not like getting preach number three now. You've had one from Chris, then you had the second one from me, and this is the third one. Keep recording though, or start recording again if you've stopped. We had the first ever trustees meeting of the new Kingdom Faith Yorkshire Trust this week. Woo! And it went really well. Pastor Jonathan Croft came up, if you remember the old leadership thing, and we met and we talked about things. And one of the things that the trustees are behind in the whole vision for where we're going is the fact that God's told us he has a building for us. Yeah, this is not our permanent meeting place. It's too small. And we need that presence in the town that a building gives to enable us to serve this town and to serve this region. You know, we want to have that parents contact center there. We want to have the youth groups that meet there. We want the parent and toddler group that's there during the week for people to come and get support. It's a place to serve our community, but also to glorify God. Yeah. And the trustees thought it was the right time to take a statement of faith because we don't know what building it is. You know, people keep saying, oh, you should have Woolworths. Well, praise God. If God wants us to have the old Woolworths, that would be great. We've got the building, the Comet building, you know, that we've had our eyes on for ages, it seems. But God never seems to free me to follow it up. Maybe it will go to somebody else. I don't know. Maybe he's just helping us to keep our eyes open. But the thing is, we thought it was time to take a statement of faith, a step of faith on this. And we want to take up a special offering for the building, even though we don't have one. Even though we don't have any direct plans to start it, we know that it's coming soon. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a seed offering in a couple of weeks, which is like the beginning of it, and we'll put that money aside. It will be earmarked. It can only be spent on the new building. That's the statement of faith. It can't be spent on my salary. It can only be spent on the new building. And but it's going to be a seed offering in anticipation, although we'll give in faith and, you know, ask the Lord what to give and then double it. Kidding, triple it. But we're going to do that. But then in about 5 months' time, just before Easter, we'll have like the main offering, which is about 5 months away. Why is it that long away? To give you time to prayerfully before God say, well, what do you want me to do? How am I going to be able to give spectacularly, if you like, into that? What do you want me to put in place now? Because you've got an opportunity in 5 months to begin your wealth creation scheme. Go and sell stuff on eBay. You know, make jam and sell it. Whatever you want to do. Probably don't have a jumble sale, but if you really want to have a jumble sale, you know, but start thinking, right, what can I take that I've got now to multiply it through? You know, at the very least, put it in a bank and earn interest, I think, was in the parable of the talents. but we're going to give as a seed to what we're going to be giving in the future. All right? And remember, it's as we give that we will receive. It's the measure that you give that you will receive back. Yeah? So it's important that we are responsive to the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to do that in 2 weeks' time. That's why this one isn't one that you can create wealth in 2 weeks, particularly. But it's the beginning of what you're anticipating for the next one in March. Okay? When is the new building coming? I don't know. Might be April. It might be April 2020. God hasn't given me a timetable. I think it's imminent. I think it's very soon. Yeah, I can't see that it's a long way away. And I know that what we need to have is a deposit, at the very least, so that we can take the next step of faith. It's not so we can just do something, oh, well, we need a building. It's so that we can glorify God and bless our community. Amen? And we've got one wonderful building, but we're greedy. We want two. We've got Lamplugh House, but we do. We need a place here. Hallelujah. Lamplugh House, by the way, is being used by the Scarborough Campus Christian Union this weekend, so it's full of uni students. That's where Dan and Jem are. And I saw Dan very briefly last night because he was back in Scarborough dropping some people off. And he said they're having an awesome time out there. It's great, isn't it? So in 2 weeks' time, on the 1st of November, I think that is, we're going to take up that offering. And just as a seed offering. So I share it now so you've got time to prepare. We can mention it again next week. And on that Sunday, whoever's leading that Sunday will take up that offering to the glory of God and we'll put it into the bank, earning interest, marked, set aside, this is for the new building. And that's the statement of faith. We're saying, God, we believe you. We're going for it. Is that all right? There's quite a few of us not here today, so spread the word, get the word excited. Kate and I actually, we won't actually be here that Sunday because that's when we're off. We've been invited, I don't know how many of you know this, but we better share it, and you need to bear in mind it's a terrible cost to us. When Dr. some of you are thinking, where's he going? You know, when Dr. James Maloney was here, three times over the course of the weekend, he said, there's a leaders' conference you need to go on. He said, I know God is telling me you need to go on it. And it was like, well, okay. And the third time he was saying it, and he was talking about it a lot more, was on the we had Sunday lunch at our house with Dr. Maloney. And he was there and he was saying, yep, you need to go on this leaders' conference in Reading. And I say to Kate, well, what do you think, Kate? And she's saying, well, yeah, I suppose we could go to Reading. Yeah, we'll get down there. And if Dr. James is sure this is something we need to go to, why are we going to go to it? Because he feels that God is going to impart something to us at this place. Has anybody heard of Bill Johnson? Okay, because his church is in Reading, California. So, that's why we're going to be missing. I went on the online after Dr. James had told us about this, and this is why it's paying the cost. Got to just go to Reading. And I went online and looked for this leaders' conference, and it wasn't there. Oh, that's a bit strange. Why is he telling me to go to work? So I emailed them, and I got an email back saying, yes, we do have a leaders' conference, but I'm sorry, you can't come. You can only come if you've been invited. It's an invitation only. So that was fine, although I was a bit cheeky, and I wrote back again and said, well, thank you very much for your email. I made inquiries because Dr. James Maloney said that it was something we should come to. And I don't know if you know, but James is a friend of Bill Johnson's. And things were checked out. And lo and behold, we got an email inviting us to go. So that's cool, isn't it? It was very funny booking in. You had to have your secret code that had been sent to you to book in, or it wasn't accepted. You could only go if you were a leader who had been invited. So I'm quite excited that God is sending us out there. But because we're going all that way, I thought, well, I'm not going all that way and then coming all that way back again without having a look round. So we are going to spend a bit of time afterwards just having a look around California, because I just feel it's part of the cost we have to bear. So we're going to go missing for nearly 2 weeks, it is, praise the Lord, by the time we've gone to conferences and flown and time zones and everything. So we won't be here on the 1st of November, but we will be sowing into that building. Amen. So don't worry, you're not sowing into my airfare. You're sowing into that building. Okay, Kate and I are going to both go together. All right. It's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it weird that people from this small church in Scarborough, can get an invitation to this place in Redding, California? It can only be God. It can only be God. Awesome is going to happen in Yorkshire, and it's going to start in Scarborough. And God's called us to be part of it. Brilliant, isn't it? He's called us to work with the church in this region so that as much as the church answers that call is all part of it. That's why it's so important to us. That's why we have one person in the leadership who's completely, that's his responsibility, our relationships with the other churches. Because there's good churches in this town, but we all need to be great churches doing the work of the Lord together. Amen. Right, well, praise God. And thus saith the Lord. I'm just trying to think of a benediction. thus saith the Lord, let us all have a cup of tea. Not coffee. No. Yeah, God bless you. Have a good week. And we'll see you around.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.